Unless you have been living under a rock, you no less not only saw the solar eclipse that happened on April 8th, but you have also probably seen headlines on social media that the end is near. The days of darkness, the hopelessness, and despair. Many even thought it was the rapture. If you're watching this, you missed it. Just kidding, then we all did.
But what does the eclipse of 2024, NASA, CERN, AI, and the 12th chapter of Revelation all have in common? Tune in today as we explore the fascinating, the mysterious, the prophetic, and how God is still in control, especially of time, as man is trying to unleash the literal chaos upon this world. Welcome to Live Life in the Spirit. We are your hosts. I'm Pastor Penny Schultz.
And I'm Kristen Scherenberg.
Thanks for tuning in today to
Live Life in the Spirit.
I'm Kristen Scherenberg.
And I'm Pastor Penny Schultz.
You can check out all of our content on our website at livelifeinthespirit.com. And you can find us on our YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, TikTok, all of them at Live Life in the Spirit. And then all of the podcast feeds, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, we're out there.
And if you feel the Spirit urging for you to donate, we do accept donations. We try very hard to make sure that this is completely free and ad-free for all of our listeners out there and those who watch. Although I got to say that we did finally make something off of Rumble. That's and it true. Was...
2 cents. I guess we know where her 2 cents went.
And while you're on our site, make sure you check out our apparel. God is still writing your story. Stop trying to steal the pen. Which has our QR code right on the back so you can come right up and scan it. So if people are scanning your shirt, you'll know why.
It's true.
It's for a good cause.
It is.
Well, we ask the question, what do all of these things have to do in common with the 12th chapter of Revelation? Well, before we jump into Revelation, like we've been doing, we've been going through each week, each chapter, we encourage you to go back and watch that if you haven't. We did take a little break for Easter, and we did that two-parter, which was just phenomenal. We're getting so much feedback, good, positive feedback, that people are like, I had no idea.
Absolutely.
Like,
That's why we did it. And then that one with Rebecca also from the Chosen People's Ministry.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. So today we thought, well, kind of in the same fashion, it's amazing how God works when we let him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you paid any attention to what was going on April 8th, we had the solar eclipse.
Yes, and there was so much talk and hype leading up to it. And people either really went far in one direction or just, I think, threw their hands up and said it was no big deal.
So I got to see the solar eclipse in 2017 at the last congregation I was at. I was out on a big parking lot in the middle of nowhere and able to see it, and it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, we watched it here. It was a big deal because it was full here.
But this time, why it was so big was because there were 7 other planets that were also in alignment at that time, which hasn't...
There's just a lot celestially that's happening.
Which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But it posed for a lot of people, and it wasn't even that so much, and the solar eclipse, but it was where it went, the path that it went this time compared to the path of last time, mm-hmm. and where they convened. So what was so abnormally mysterious about the 2017 solar eclipse?
Well, it was just odd that over the path of the United States that it took, there were 7 cities named Salem that were there that were part of the full eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just an odd thing anyways. And I would think unlikely, mathematically speaking. But then when you add to the fact that Salem is actually short for Jerusalem, and that the United States is sort of considered...
Little Israel.
It just adds some more intrigue to it. And then also, I believe it also went through Corpus Christi, which would be Body of Christ. And there's very few towns in the world with that name. So just an interesting grouping of information.
Okay, so and now we're going to fast forward mm-hmm. to the now solar eclipse of 2024. So besides the extra celestial stuff going on, it was the path that it took this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it went through what?
It went through 7 towns named Nineveh, which there are 7 towns
I didn't even
named
know
Nineveh.
We had 7 towns.
And then also,
why?
I don't know. That's not a town you should want to. Although they did in the end.
They did repent.
They did repent. And then also one town named Jonah, which, just a very short summary, Jonah was warned Nineveh that if they didn't change their ways and repent, then judgment would be upon them. And they did eventually listen, and they were saved from judgment. But lots of people are saying, because of that path of the eclipse this year, that it's a warning for the United States that we need to repent and turn from our wicked ways, or we're going to be judged.
Well, and we do know that God puts harbingers into the sky. So the signs, mm-hmm. is, you know, he says that many times throughout Scripture.
Oh, sure.
You know, 9/11 happened, mm-hmm. and America almost repented, and then they didn't. Mm-hmm. And there have been many harbingers that have been given to our country all along, and they haven't. And, you know, for anybody who's been paying any attention to the news, we are now, our government, elected officials are turning their backs on Israel. And you know from the scriptures, mm-hmm. any nation that turns their back on Israel is, it's not good.
No.
So what can we do, you and me, you know, and those of you who are listening that are not in any kind of elected capacity that have any power or authority to do anything, we have a greater power than those that are sitting in the seat. And what is that power?
To pray.
100%. And that's all we can do. And pray for not just ourselves, but for our country. Mm-hmm. And to pray for those people who are put in those positions. Because God can do anything. Mm-hmm. He has done the miraculous so many times. I mean, think of Nineveh. Mm-hmm. This was a pagan king that worshipped Dagon, the fish god. Mm-hmm. And he even repented. Mm-hmm. He didn't know Jonah's God any more than the man on the moon.
But God can turn hearts.
He can. Even King Nebuchadnezzar. He had to go to very extreme lengths to get his attention, but he did soften his heart as well. So, that being said, there are a lot of signs in the sky and the times, and I know people were talking about all the earthquakes. We had a lot of earthquakes before, but you know that any time you have a lot of lunar activity or other celestial activity, it's going to cause tides to rise. Mm-hmm. It affects everything, so it's not unheard of that there would be a lot of earthquakes.
Right, because all of the connections between the forces on Earth, God put all that into place, and so he can use all of that.
And there were past earthquakes with the other lunar eclipses as well, mm-hmm. and solar eclipses. So, anyway, but what does that have to do with all the things going on that we know about and those things we don't know about? Another interesting tidbit is what also happened on April 8th that most people are not aware of. Right. Some, if you're in the know, because once you know, you can't unknow. But it has to do with CERN. Now, for those of you who don't know what CERN is, that's the Hadron Collider, the accelerator that is 576 feet or something like that below ground between Switzerland and France by Geneva. It is 17 miles in diameter.
So it's a massive Hadron Collider. Yeah, it's,
you know, and where it's at, we kind of talked about this, I think, on another one. Possibly. Maybe not, I talked about it a lot. But, well, the LHC, when they were building this is a phenomenal story, too, because it is between two countries. Now, the amount of red tape and the rigmarole you would have to go through, it's bad enough in one country. Why would you even do it with two countries together?
It's all about location, location, location.
And where this location is, it happens to be right above Apollo's temple. So I want you to think about that for just a minute. We just got through doing Revelation 9. Mm-hmm. Who is the one that is in the bottomless pit that the gates of hell are opened? Who comes out of there as their king?
Apollo, Apollyon, Apolliano, the destroyer.
Abaddon, that's right, through Hebrew. All the same guy. They built this thing literally over his temple. And what are they trying to do with his Hadron Collider? It is to open a portal. They're dealing with black matter. They're dealing with wormholes. They're dealing with black holes. They're trying with anything they could do to open a portal. And that may sound like science fiction. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. We've watched lots of movies like that. Mm-hmm. But is this new?
No.
Who's tried to do this in the beginning?
Well, Nimrod with the Tower of Babel, that's what they were trying to do, was create a portal, way to get back to heaven. Mm-hmm.
And that we see that all throughout Israel, there are portals. Mm-hmm. And throughout time, there has been portals. And what is that? It's ways to get back to God. In fact, in the scriptures, if you look, there are so many places that it talks about that. You know, even with Elijah, mm-hmm. when he was opening up heaven to, that's what both of them were basically doing, mm-hmm. to rain down fire from heaven. But right. the priest of Baal could not rain down fire, but God did.
And you just think about it. I mean, it might sound like science fiction, but we know that God isn't on Earth. We know that he's not sitting up in the stratosphere. He's not in this plane.
He's in a different dimension.
Right. And so we have to, you have to understand that then there has to be a way to get back and forth.
Well, when John in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and a door was opened and he said, come up here. He was literally going through
a portal.
Mm-hmm. In Greek, yeah, mm-hmm. it's just a little different.
Right.
I mean, meaning more like a portal. Mm-hmm. How else would you access
right. the it's not a door that you open with a regular kind of key.
And that's interesting, too, because when Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, and the door will be open. What door is he talking about? It's the between the realms, mm-hmm. the heavenly. He'll give you that information, mm-hmm. or he'll give you the divine things that you need
right.
to accomplish whatever he's asking you to do.
Of course.
Then we also see with the, you have Moses and Joshua, mm-hmm. and when they're going up the mountain, a portal was open, and it, literally they were able to dine and have supper with God, and they saw his feet,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, and, you know, with the transfiguration, mm-hmm. a portal was opened, and there's Jesus and Elijah and Moses. Okay. And then you have Elijah. How many times when he was running and he was just swooped up,
right?
And then he was planted somewhere else,
right?
And Jesus, when they were ready to push him off of the cliff, and
right at Mount Precipice,
gone,
was gone,
and he ended up somewhere else. So I mean, the Bible is just chock full of these kind of examples, mm-hmm. where it's not really that space age so much. It's really worked up dealing with a spiritual realm. We're spiritual people, and we serve a spiritual God.
And there, that gives rise to things that are outside of the ten, this tangible world that we can see and define, mm-hmm. and that we're much more comfortable with putting everything in a box, because this kind of stuff doesn't fit in a box.
No.
Right. But the Hadron Collider, they're sending particles so fast, 17 miles in diameter. So they're sending them in circles, like they'll have two particles going, and they get them up to almost the speed of light, and then they make them collide to see what will happen. Yeah, that seems like a really good idea. It allows them to open little tiny black holes. I mean, they are attempting. And then they literally talk about the fact that they want to see what comes through, or if they can send something through it. I mean, they are aware. And scientists, they may put on a big front that they are not religious people or spiritual people, but they are fully aware of what they're doing and that there is a spiritual world out there, and they want to connect with it.
Well, and they also know that they cannot do this by science alone.
Right.
That there is a spiritual component to it, and it requires, not from our side, but from the dark side, it requires a spiritual practice or a
ritual
or something like that.
Potentially even sacrifice.
Yeah. Which, you know, there, that is very interesting at CERN. And mm-hmm. then if you look at the logo of CERN,
mm-hmm.
it looks like
three sixes that are just mm-hmm. changing directions a little bit.
And they have the big statue of Shiva with cobras all over her.
Mm-hmm.
And she represents basically a Nanu.
Mm-hmm. It's the Hindu god of Shiva, but it's the same.
Right.
And it's there because the Hindus have supported the work at CERN for 50 years now, and they donated it to show support of that.
That's what a lot of people don't realize.
Uh-huh.
This has been going on for 56 years.
Long time.
Or it was in 1956. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, it seems like the statue
was... in the 50s.
Yeah, it was in the 50s or 1960, something like that. It's been in process for a really long time.
And you think about when all of the sci-fi shows came out, Star Trek, Battlestar, like, you know, some of those really, really old stuff, Stargate.
When you look at Stargate, if you just take a brief look at Stargate,
I want to get into that. We want to bring that up later. But true, exactly. Mm-hmm. How does it open the portal?
It's been really fast. All of the, I mean, they have to have coordinates and all of that. I mean, there's, but mm-hmm. the very basic principle of it, and then bam.
And it circles.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is circles to open
mm-hmm.
portals. So in 2016, they literally did a mock human sacrifice under the statue. They said, they didn't say that they didn't do it.
No. They just said they were horsing, some of the staff were horsing.
Yeah, because a girl comes out in a robe and she lays down under the statue and a knife is literally plunged into her.
But they were just horsing around.
Because that's what everybody does at the office, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just do mock sacrifices.
All the time.
And as we said, this is all above
the temple
to Apollo. Of Apollo. In Isaiah 14, 13 through 14, Satan is literally speaking of opening a portal,
mm-hmm.
trying to get back to God, heaven. Trying to ascend back into the heavens after he has been cast down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we look at all this stuff coming up with CERN and the AI and the technology that's just mind-blowing right now.
It really is.
Well, you can't even comprehend it because it's changing by the nanosecond.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to sit back and say computers are so smart and man is nothing and we don't need man anymore. There's no way man could keep up with the computer. Here's the thing. Computers are not smarter. They're just faster.
Mm-hmm.
And why I say this is because if you look in the scriptures, there are things that people were doing and accomplishing way back thousands and thousands of years ago that we still couldn't even replicate today.
Right.
Take Noah and the Ark. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I was a boat. I wasn't just any boat.
No.
The size, the structure, being able to make it so it could float for a year and 16, or be together for a year and 16 days, mm-hmm. and just with pitch that it would keep the water out, and it would be pressurized.
And house all those animals in ways that allowed everybody to be safe, and to have all the food and the water and everything that they
and
needed.
Ventilation, uh-huh. and to get rid of waste, and I mean, just everything. The Titanic didn't even make it across the ocean once. Man boasted.
Mm-hmm.
But so we look at the Egyptians.
Oh yeah, and that's not even just scriptural. But in Egyptian history, some of the things that they were able to accomplish, technology-wise, structure-wise, building-wise, you know, we say that the ingenuity of man. While I fully agree that our ability to learn is a God-given gift, I also fully believe that he didn't intend for us to have all that we have, knowledge-wise.
And we weren't supposed to, hence why the flood, because
right.
man was given way too much technology and things that we weren't supposed to have.
Right.
But then you see after the flood,
mm-hmm.
it kind of starts.
It's taken a little bit longer maybe this time, but boy, are we getting there.
But why did the Egyptian culture just... Because they had advanced so much. They had done so many things. And even that, they finally, scientists have broken the code of the hieroglyphics or whatever they have. It's called the Boat of a Million Years.
Mm-hmm.
And on this boat, it has like two tornado type things on either end of the boat. And what they believed was that this boat, somehow, it opened wormholes. Mm-hmm. It opened a portal. That's why it was a million years. So mm-hmm. it could go back and forth.
Anywhere.
I mean, to the underworld. And the whole point of going to the underworld was they wanted to resurrect Osiris, their god, and Ra,
mm-hmm.
the sun god.
Well, and if you look at the Egyptians, their belief in their pharaohs was that when they became a pharaoh, they went in and they went through this ceremony and they sort of became half man, half god. I mean, they were, you talk about transhumanism, they were already doing it back then.
And Set, I think, is also another one.
Mm-hmm.
That,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to see how
Ra and Set
continue to keep playing. I am so excited because there is so much stuff here. And as we start going through 12... we're getting into, this is the out of chronological order, so to speak, because
mm-hmm.
Revelation is not in that. And John kind of goes back to the beginning, and he's building the case for the fight with Satan and the seed of woman and the seed of Satan all the way through up to the Antichrist. And then as we get into 13 and 14, we're getting into the actual Antichrist and then the false prophet. Mm-hmm. And then in 17 and 18, we get into the New World Order, and we get into the
one world religion.
So this is really building, and it's amazing how this stuff is happening right before our eyes, like never before in history. And absolutely, it just plays. Mm-hmm. All those little pieces of the puzzle are coming right together. Well, what a lot of people might not know as well is that Aleister Crowley, he is actually the father of Satanism. And his mother, actually, how would you like to have this complex as a kid? His mother told him that he was the Antichrist.
And groomed him to be such.
Yeah, and he got married. And he was literally on his honeymoon in Egypt, and he was looking at one of the displays. And while he was looking at this display, and it was something that had to do with the 666, but it was there that a demon, he says, spoke to him, which would be this Lom, mm-hmm, which looks like the little gray people, the alien, mm-hmm, and gave him the Book of the Law.
Which is sort of their
the Book Bible of Satan, yeah, kind of, mm-hmm, so to speak. But anyway, what was the date that he wrote that and finished it?
April 8th.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So there is something to be said for that date.
So it's just, to me, interesting that Aleister Crowley would be in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And it was what he was looking at.
Right.
When he was inspired to write this. Mm-hmm. And if you've noticed, okay, so we said that he was looking at the 666. In 1989, there was a British scientist, the one who was literally working on the conception of CERN at the time, and he was the one who came up with the World Wide Web, mm-hmm, www. Now, the interesting thing here is, in Hebrew, it's not W's.
It's a V.
Which the numerical value for the Vav is 6.
Because each letter has a numerical value.
So you have 666. So now you have the Egyptian one that they're looking at is 666. You have the World Wide Web, which literally means 666. And you have CERN's logo, which is 666. As we've said, the scriptures tell us that it is the number of man. And it is an entity in itself, so to speak. It's all this stuff. It's everything that's opposed to God. Sometimes we try to look for a particular person. Mm-hmm. And that's, I don't think that's going to happen, because there's 666 is everywhere, but it's all showing and it's all pulling together, but it has everything in common. Mm-hmm. So Satan, we know he uses technology, and he is the prince of the air. You know, we read that, mm-hmm, but we don't really
think about that.
So when I was thinking about all the portals over in Israel, and actually when we went, so the first time I went in 2019, God had me do something that I had never done before. Mm-hmm. And he had me actually prophesy on the Temple Mount. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that, and I had every reason why I couldn't do it, trust me. And it wasn't the Temple Mount. He said he wanted me at the center. And it actually ended up being under this gazebo. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking him, how am I going to know where the center is? And it's all this mosaic and this blue and everything. And there's one white 4x4 square. Literally X marks the spot, the center. And what he had me prophesy was actually not to this world. And I thought about it a lot. I got little tidbits and snippets of what I think I knew what I was saying. And so the first time we went there, I didn't even know what this gazebo was or what it was for. It wasn't until we went back this last time and Derek started telling us a little bit about it, but he didn't give us the whole scope of what it was for. So what did you find?
Well, it's interesting. You know, there's been a lot of speculation throughout the years because it's obviously been under control of different people. But the Dome of the Chain, that name comes from the fact that there was a story from Solomon's time that he had hung a chain between heaven and earth, and that when a righteous, or if there was a disagreement and two people approached it, only the righteous and upright man could touch the chain. It could pass judgment or say who was right and righteous and good and who wasn't.
The other thing, though, I think is kind of more of a little food for thought, is that if we know that it is a portal, and we, a lot of people have speculated that the Garden of Eden is actually under Jerusalem, we also know that there are four angels that have been cast under the earth through the portal, and they're bound in chains. The dome of the chain. Now, why I say this, I know this is me talking, but I also know enough of what I prophesied and who I prophesied it to that it would make a lot more sense that there would be angels underneath there, because it was telling them to chill out a little longer. It wasn't. Time. And that kind of seems to be the theme of what we're really looking at today with this whole thing, with the solar eclipse and with CERN and with AI. It's all about time, and that's really what Revelation 12 is talking about, is the time throughout the whole scope of the world of when this has happened and this constant spiritual battle.
Well, because the gates to hell will be opened, but what they're trying to do even with CERN is to speed up the timetable. They want their time. Yeah, they want that extra demonic help today, not in God's time.
Well, there was another phenomenal point that was made. That NASA was involved in all of this too. Of course, they're doing all this studying, but it wasn't just the studying, it was what they actually did. What did they do?
Well, during the eclipse, we know that CERN was fired up. And then NASA launched three rockets into the darkness, like the shadow. They were called sound rockets. And they launched one like just before the beginning, during kind of the middle point when it was fully eclipsed, and then towards the end. And they were supposed to gather 12 different data sets, 4 from each rocket. I don't know exactly how that works, but they did it. And the abbreviation for the program that is that they're collecting information for was APEP, APEP. And it was like something about
I want to see you say that because it was funny to hear you say it when you were reading it.
It's a mouthful.
You have to look it up. It's a mouthful.
APEP. It's just an odd, I feel like there are several other ways you could say it without the word that makes my mouth not work. But
what is another name for that?
So that is also Apophis.
We talked about Apophis.
Firing chaos.
So Apophis, for those of you, if you haven't watched any of our previous stuff, or you have not read any of Dr. Thomas Horn's books, Apophis is the name that was given to the asteroid that's supposed to hit here in April 13th of 2029.
Right.
We didn't name it Apophis. It was actually NASA scientists that named it Apophis. Apophis is literally the name for the chaos dragon. And this thing is going to come streaking through the air, kind of like a twisting and turning dragon. But here we have, they've yet named now, these three rockets that were shot up into space to measure the blackness, the darkness.
And to see what the effects of the eclipse have on matter.
Dark matter.
In the outer atmosphere. Just interesting.
Well, it is. So,
and we're not saying that this... Every scientist, or even whatever scientist that they came up with it, knew that that's what they were doing.
Probably don't even have a clue.
Right.
But Apophis is the ancient serpent god, as we said, who goes to battle with Ra, the sun god. Now, I am sure that most of the scientists didn't even have a clue about any of this, and yet. you can't make this stuff up.
Right. It's there in black eye, because... When I first heard it, I went and looked, and I'm like, sure enough, they sure did.
So you have a rocket going up to the sun, called Apophis, to sun. You have the ancient serpent god, Apophis, going to do battle with the sun god, which is really Apollo. Look at that, and it was what we were reading the other day, It was really, really interesting because it was talking, we thought about this. I said, so we sent Apollo to the moon, but now the one that we just sent to the sun is called Artemis. Now, if you know anything, that you remember anything from sixth grade Greek mythology, because we had to do it and spend 6 months with it, I chose Artemis just because she was cool and she had a bow and arrow, not realizing the full scope of all this. Mm-hmm. Artemis is the sister of Apollo, but she is the goddess of the moon. Apollo is the god of the sun. So here we sent Apollo to the moon
and Artemis to the sun.
And we sent Artemis to the sun. I just, the irony of this. Mm-hmm. It's, and I'm sure maybe somebody did have an idea of that when they did it. But it's kind of cool when you can see it and point it out. So we're talking about these portals because we're getting into 12. And how many things, I mean, with all the portals, there are always circles, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always to open up something. The cults, everything is a circle, and they're trying to conjure up. The Ouija board is... Well, it's not so much a circle, but you're trying to bring something up out of that, a portal. So what does portals and the eclipse have to do with the death of Jesus Christ?
Well, that is an interesting question. And if you remember from when we talked about it, what came over the land when Jesus was on the cross?
Well, in Matthew 27, verse 45, it talked about darkness all over the land. But it wasn't just like our eclipse. It was what? 5 minutes?
Mm-mm.
It was for 3 hours. It said from the sixth until the ninth hour, and I have to realize that's not the same as our hour. So it would have been from noon to three. And when did Jesus die?
At three.
Three. And what happened with that when he gives up his spirit?
There was an earthquake, and people came out of their graves. Like it said, the saints arose from the dead.
There's a lot of speculation with all of that, but we know that the veil was ripped.
Right.
So now there's that access to God. And Satan had thought during that darkness time that he had prevailed. Darkness came over the land, and he was able to do what he wanted. Yeah, he didn't realize it.
No, because he tried to eliminate the seed, but he didn't try to stop the crucifixion.
If he had realized the full extent of what he was putting into motion, he would have never sent Jesus to the cross. Mm-hmm. Which proves that while angels know a lot, they don't know everything. And they don't even know the stuff that's put right before them. Because think about this. Jesus was telling the disciples how many times what must happen. That he must suffer. He must die. He would be crucified. But he'd rise 3 days later. Now, if Satan was like God, omnipotent, and, you know, kind of in the area, knowing everything and hearing this, he should have known what was going to happen. And yet, he had no clue.
So you have to, I mean, if you can imagine Satan thinking, yes, they killed him. I won, darkness on the earth. Oh, wait, because then what happened after Jesus died? Where did he go?
He went to Tartarus, which might not have been all that far over, just through a portal. Actually, if that was true, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that far.
It was a hop, skip, and a jump.
A hop and a skip. So as we think about that sun being dark for 3 hours, but it is interesting how many things in the Bible talk about the moon and that kind of eclipse thing. Jericho, I didn't realize that was not means moon. Okay, so as we move now, as we keep saying, into Revelation 12, there are only 404 verses in the entire book of Revelation, and what is the really cool part?
360 of those are from the Old Testament or make reference to the Old Testament.
Exactly. So when people say, I don't need to know my Old Testament, I can just read the New Testament. Yeah, but you're not going to understand any of this.
It's true.
You try to make everything imagery when, guess what? It actually literally translates everything for you. Mm-hmm. It interprets it for you. If you know, if you were a good Jew and you know your Old Testament, you understand the book of Revelation. You may not agree with it.
But you understand it.
Now, there are actually 100 passages about the person who is the Antichrist in the Bible. Now, I use the word Antichrist, and next week as we get a little more into this, you're going to see he's actually not called the Antichrist at all in the entire book of Revelation. He's called
the deceiver,
beast, yeah, the accuser, the deceiver, the lawlessness one, all these different names, but he's called the beast. Mm-hmm. He's only called the Antichrist like I think three times in 1 John and a couple times in 3 John or something like that, 2 mm-hmm. John. So that is where John refers to him as Antichrist. Antichrist just means anybody who is opposed to Christ. We've had a lot of Antichrists throughout all of history. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so we're going to jump right in here and read chapter 12.
A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
We're going to start, just jump right in here to Revelation 12. And it says at the very beginning, Now there was a great sign that appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and her head a garland of 12 stars. A lot of people have speculated, even way back to Constantine, that this was talking about the Roman Catholic Church, but it's not. Some have even thought it was talking about the church, but it's not. In fact, it's talking about Israel. In fact, it is mentioned, it goes all the way back to Genesis 37. We see Joseph with his father. He had, this is Joseph, the coat of many colors, who had the brothers, and it was him that had the dreams. Mm-hmm. And what was the first dream that he had?
He had a dream that the sun and the moon and the 12 stars would all bow down to him. And that was talking about his father, his mother, and his siblings.
Right.
But you probably shouldn't brag about your entire family bowing down to you and expect them to still like you.
No, it didn't end well.
In the middle it wasn't good. It ended well.
True. But anyway, we see that actually there's a lot of biblical consistency with Israel being the woman. In fact, if you look throughout most of the Old Testament, Isaiah 54, Jeremiah 3,
Ezekiel 16, Hosea 2.
Exactly. And when it talks about she is great with child to give birth, yes, it could be Mary, but it's also Israel, because that is where the Messiah comes from.
Right.
But then there's another sign, a great and fiery red dragon who has 10 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. Now, this is not the Roman Empire, as some speculate. It's literally Satan. And we're going to see that later because John interprets these visions that he sees.
Right. And the dragon comes with authority and influences. And we talked about that, that like the heads and the horns and the crowns, that talks about authority and power and dominion.
And he was cast to earth and his angels with him. So we see here in verse 4, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. All right, now this is what I love, because if you jump over to verse 7, he did not write this. 12 through 16 is not in chronological order. Right. It does not pick up where we left off with 11. It's like John's going, okay, I'm just going to do a cliff note synopsis. And there's in no particular order, but this is what has happened, and this is how the Messiah came, and who's been the adversary.
And this is what's important, and oh wait, this is also important, and oh, let me go back and tell you about this.
That's kind of where verse 7 is. He's like, oh, well, let me backtrack again. He says, the war broke out in heaven, and Michael and the angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. So as we can see, the stars are literally angels, and that's, John's gone right on to decipher that for us. So the great dragon cast out that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. So do you love this? Because in case you had any question who the dragon was, it was the great serpent, the devil, the diablo.
Which is, they refer back to the Nakash, that bronze shining one, Satan. Masquerades as lots of the different things.
Mm-hmm. And the angel of light. Mm-hmm. But he's most importantly the adversary or the enemy. Peter calls him that. And why is he the adversary or the accuser? So if you've read the book of Job, that gives us a lot of clues. Because who moves back and forth between heaven and earth? Satan.
And he is talking in God's ear, so to speak, trying to get him to, you know, oh, well, the only reason Job is faithful to you is because he's got things so cushy. Take things away, make life a little bit more uncomfortable, and then I bet you won't be so faithful. Accusing him of having little faith.
So with him coming, he's accusing Job of only liking and loving God because he has it so good. And then he starts systematically taking away everything, but God says you can't kill him. So, in the end, we know if you've read the story of Job, he prevails, and in fact, he comes out better in the end than what he had. Although it is kind of interesting, Tim Hawkins had a funny little take on that. He says, you notice how everything was taken away from Job but his wife. If you know the story of Job, I think that was probably one of the other curses that was left on the earth for him.
Yeah, apparently she wasn't a very nice lady.
No, she wasn't too much. But you have to realize she had everything taken away from her, too.
She did.
She just didn't handle it as well. I think there's probably a lesson in a sermon on that.
I bet there is.
So we see that Satan is the one that has had been able to move back and forth. So we have a third of the angels fell the first time. But from that third, we don't know how many that third is. It says you could put, what, a million angels on a pin of a head of a pen or something. I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. But anyway,
there's a lot of angels is the point.
So a third of those fell.
So if you think about that, there's a lot of fallen angels wandering around wreaking havoc here on earth.
And of that, the 200 then were the watchers. They were the ones that took the women of men and produced the Nephilim. But it is of that group that then were punished and were sent to Tartarus, and it was Azazel from there. Mm-hmm. That is the one that there is no redemption for, that is in chains under the ground.
For Azazel. But then the question could be posed, what about the rest?
Well, I truly believe that there's probably a redemption for any of them. So what does it look like when Satan is accusing you? What's he accusing you of?
Well, oftentimes he seems to say that God doesn't really love us, or we can't be forgiven. You know, we can't be redeemed. We've done something that can't be forgiven, those kinds of things.
You're not really saved. You're not really a child of God. Are you sure that God said that?
Right. Are you sure that he loves you?
Mm-hmm. And those are the things that play in our head. And mm-hmm. before you know it, we start listening to those.
Right.
He is called what? The father of lies.
Right.
He knows his time is short. And Satan is bound by the elements of this world. Mm-hmm. He is bound by time. Now, he's also called the prince of the air, which means he's not just on earth.
Right.
But he can roam around, I guess, back and forth. So we talked about Moses when he died and his body and that, you know, where they were fighting over his body. Why would they fight over his body? This isn't God buried Moses. But is that really what it says in the Hebrew? It's probably more God took. Mm-hmm. He took care of his body. And so that would make perfect sense. And it was in that area where all those portals are, where all those dolmens, where all the Valley of the Travelers, the Valley of the Shadow of Death, where all these disembodied spirits move back and forth. And so Satan thought he had a toehold on him. He had claim to him because it was in that area. And who knows? It could be because he could have been on a portal, so he thought that he had dominion over that.
Right.
But he didn't. He didn't get the body.
No, he did not.
And we're going to see that he's, we think, definitely one of those two witnesses that we looked at in 11 that's going to be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So we have talked about Satan before and how we know him by the word Lucifer, but technically he's only given that name once in all of Scripture, and it's really a bad translation. It's not even Lucifer. I don't know where it came from.
I'm either.
We did a whole episode.
Yeah, we talked about that, but
that's who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. This goes all the way back to Ezekiel 28. He's the anointed cherubim.
So in describing Satan, it says his body is adorned with every precious stone. There are settings and mountings, tabarets and pipes. So he's got musical instrumentation built right into his being, suggesting that he could have even been like a musical worship leader in heaven.
Well, we know he was right up there, hence why he was like, I should be God, I want to be God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we see that after he has been down here, though, the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so it might devour her child the moment it was born. So this is talking about Mary, but it's also Israel. And who's the child?
Jesus Christ, the Messiah.
Exactly. And what happened then when Jesus was born? What did Satan set up?
Herod issued the edict to have every child, male child, 2 years and under, to be killed.
That's right. So he wanted to get rid of Jesus, and he tried this several times, but it didn't happen. It says, she gave birth to a male son who will rule the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. So we kind of go from he was born to he ascended.
Right.
He doesn't get more cliff notes.
But you know what? He's going, we wrote a lot about that other stuff already. Check that out. This is a different kind of book.
So the woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she may be taken care of for 1,260 days, which is the same as
3.5 years. So again, we jumped to the end,
because
that's not right after the ascension.
No. This is just like, you know, he was born, he ascended, and okay, he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
This is right at about that time. So then it kind of jumps around, and we're just going to kind of pick up at verse 13, because he's talking now that the dragon saw that he had been hurled to earth, which he's been there.
Right.
And he pursued the woman who, well, actually, this could be really interesting, because I had made an argument for Revelation chapter 9 when it said that the star, which was the angel, had been given the key to the abyss to open up the gates of hell or to open the portal or unleash the hordes of hell, basically. It could be just an angel that was signed to that. Or I argue, could it be Satan himself? Because he's been able to travel back and forth. So what if he was the one that was given the keys
to the abyss? That's a thought.
That would pose a much interesting question.
Mm-hmm. And I think it very well could be.
And the reason why I say that is because Jesus even says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And it is in Revelation 9 that it said, the star shot down like lightning from heaven with the key.
So it could be that that's that's when they're talking about it.
It could be. And we also know that many times throughout the scriptures, it was then and it's now.
Yeah, it can.
Or it was before and it was
again. And it will be again, yeah. But either way, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. So again, he is chasing the
Israel.
Right.
And he had all the way through the Holocaust, mm-hmm. through every horrible thing that's ever happened, even all the way up to October
7th. Yeah. So the Jewish people have been pursued by that dragon from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm. And yet they still prevail. Mm-hmm. The nation that should never be. You know, there was a very interesting interview between the president of China, Ming, and Netanyahu. And he was telling Netanyahu, he was praising him for the Israel people. For they had been around, like China had been around for 5,000 years, and the Israelites had been around for 4,000 years. And
they were people of longevity. Yes. And they had survived.
And Netanyahu said, well, you can't forget India, because they've been around mm-hmm. for 5,000 years as well. But he said the difference is, he says, look at China, who has, honey,
so many billions. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot. and then India had like 1 billion people, and Israel had like 14 million people. Mm-hmm. And he said,
the reason for that
is because the Chinese people have been able to stay in China. The Indian people have been able to stay in India, but the Jewish people have been scattered all over the earth mm-hmm. multiple times.
Right.
And so for them to still be able, in that little bitty country, to still hold on to everything, it is a God thing. Because mm-hmm. there's no way that man would be able to make that work or prevail.
No, not at all.
Especially when they had been completely wiped out, dead as a nation. I mean, they weren't recognized until 1948.
Right.
So we see here that the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach.
Now this is another thing that could have several meanings.
Couple things.
And it could even be talking about a couple of different times.
Exactly. If it was talking about a time before, on the wings of eagle could mean when the Jewish people came to America and were saved mm-hmm. for a while, were saved until they could go back.
Right.
But then we see where it talks about the time, times, and half a time. That's getting down to that last three and a half, or the first three and a half years.
Getting down to that tribulation time. Mm-hmm.
So, many have speculated that that place in the wilderness where they're going to go hide, I'm going to put up some pictures here because we were there, would actually be Petra.
Which is technically Jordan.
Yes, it is. So, it's across the Jordan River and into the other country. But why would it be a place of safety?
Well, it's massive, for one. And it would be very easy to be well protected. And there's a lot of places to hide.
I find this fascinating. Mm-hmm. Because, well, if you were writing this in John's time, oh yeah, you could so hide in all those nooks and crannies and it would be hard. But I would think it's a channel coming down that if enough people went in on horseback and stuff and mm-hmm. scattered, they could find them and flush them out. But when you think about nowadays, with drones and AI and robots, and they could just go in and start
just find out where all the people are and take them out. Yeah. It will require divine protection, mm-hmm. which it says they have.
And that's because it says in verse 15,
then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. If we stop right there for just a minute, like when you go to Petra after you've walked a long time, you get to the entrance.
Yes.
And it's like it would be like walking up to the entrance of the Grand Canyon
from the side.
Yeah, going in from the side, and there's just a big crevice, a big hole, and you walk in, and then you're in this like sort of winding path. I could very easily visualize Satan standing there and water going in, and that would truly wash.
It would flood through. Everything it would flood
through. Right.
But then this is the... So evidently, God somehow causes an earthquake, and maybe because of the rush of the water mm-hmm. and the soft ground, it splits open, and then all the water goes down. Because it's at the desert, so of course right. it's going to soak up the water pretty quick.
It will.
So then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. So these are the people who have accepted Christ during this tribulation time, whether it be
Jew or Gentile. Christian, yeah. But they're not safe. What it's saying is those that aren't held into protection there, Satan's coming after you.
Well, this is the first 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. So you have to realize this is not in chronological order right. kind of thing. This is that mishmash. So this is probably the ones that are beheaded for the testimony. This is the ones who had received the mark of God. Mm-hmm. So they're not being tormented, but they can't buy, sell, you know, all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff.
There's a lot of things they're limited from doing.
So what John is trying to tell us in this little nutshell of chapter 12 is he's seeing for us the redemptive plan of God mm-hmm. from beginning to end in just one of those little quick flip. Yeah. We are all separated by sin.
We are.
And he raises up Israel, as we said. You know, it goes all the way back to Abraham, who was a pagan to start out with. People don't like to hear that. They don't like to think about it, but...
He was.
His whole family and he was. They worshiped pagan idols. They didn't know God until God came and established a relationship and a covenant right. and a blessing with him.
And then through and faith, him.
It is through him that the seed of the Messiah would come. And Jesus, that the nation of Israel would give birth to the Messiah, that all who put their faith in him will be saved. So we're all grafted in. Mm-hmm. It's not replacement theology. A lot of people have that somehow the Christians are replacing the Jews. That's not it at all. In fact, we wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the Jewish people.
Really, we're all Messianic Jews.
That's right. So ever since God's intent, Satan has stood opposed to his plan. And that's what this is all saying. It's saying that Satan from the very beginning tried to be God. When he got kicked out, he got mad. He's been trying to find a portal to get back there. And he has been trying to stamp out the seed, anything that God's plan could be to eliminate him. He is bound by time. We are going to get into this later, right. way more in depth. But it is really cool when you know all those little nuts and bolts of what's going on now and how it all fits right into the scriptures
right.
of Revelation and Daniel and Isaiah. It is spooky, actually, and it can be very unnerving. And I suppose it could be very scary if you did not know who the author of the book was.
Right.
If you did not know who was really in control and not chaos.
Yeah. And that, in the end, we already know who wins.
I've read the last chapter.
Oh, spoiler alert.
So we're going to leave you with verse 10. He says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down.'" And I would argue what he's saying to that was not when he was hurled down to earth, but at the very end, when the ancient serpent of old is caught up with the beast mm-hmm. and the false prophet and thrown into the lake of fire right. for good. And how do we know? Because verse 11 is the entire key.
"They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them.
But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short."
That's right.
So again, he's going back and forth. You know, he's saying Satan's going to be on the rampage very much, much, much so in the end times where we are right now. Things are going so fast mm-hmm. because he knows his time is short. And he has his plans. He's trying to put them into place. Oh my gosh, when we get towards the one world religion and the one world government and the World Economic Forum and we get into all the inner workings and a little more of CERN. Oh, there's so much more to CERN.
Right.
There's so much more to what NASA has been trying to do. There is nothing new under the sun. And we like to think that because of all this technology that this is all new stuff, but it goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel and Nimrod. Well, with this eclipse, I think it was ever prevalent as I watched all those people from the different places along that had the totality mm-hmm. of the eclipse. Everybody was looking up into the sky at total darkness. Mm-hmm. And I said, I had this thought, what if it had been the announcement of the rapture? Would the same people be looking up? Would they have turned out in droves to look up? Or would they have said, nah, I'll just stay home? You know, that's what the whole parable of the 10 virgins is in Matthew. When Jesus told that parable, it was because they all showed up at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it didn't happen in the time frame that they thought,
they grew bored or weary or
not prepared.
Right. And then they
missed it.
They did. We don't want anyone to miss it.
If you could ever make just one eternal lasting decision in your life, that would be to accept Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Doesn't matter what nationality you come from. It doesn't matter what country you come from. Doesn't matter what your past beliefs or religions were. He is standing there with open arms in the same redemption that he has offered men and women throughout all of the ages. And as we are just coming off of the Easter season, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so our prayer for you today is that watching this series, like I said, it can be a little daunting.
It can be. It can be scary and nerve-wracking and just leave you feeling maybe a little bit shaken. But there's hope woven throughout every piece of scripture, even throughout Revelation.
And that's why it's there. So that way we're not caught off guard.
That's right.
And so we know what's going to happen. And we know who is in control. So as you continue to peruse through the headlines and read your scriptures, just know that once you know,
you can't unknow.
And if you haven't seen it,
you can't say
we didn't tell you. Until next time.
Shalom.